I sent another message to a buddy of mine who owns a comedy club when I was in Naperville that night.
Yeah.
So, dude, I mean, that was terrible weather that day. You had the game, so you were more aware of it.
In the rain. It was horrible.
Terrible weather. Just cold, rainy.
Right.
I was amazed at how many people were still out in downtown Naperville.
Every place
was packed. And I sent a buddy a message. I'm like, dude, all these bars have extra rooms. They're not using them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you should open up an independent comedy show here. Like, you would, absolutely. I mean, it would be a license to print money. Like, you have all the Chicago, at night, it's only a half hour drive, you know. I'm like, you should, he's actually looking into it now.
Oh, he should, absolutely.
We'll see if I get a finder's fee.
Cool.
But yeah, it's my one buddy who I was out with, which is a hilarious, this is very much my buddy. Oh, this is actually a story about him you guys will enjoy. So he's a great guy, but he's like one of those dudes where even though he has a successful career, all his ideas like seem harebrained. And you're like, how is this guy so, you know, like, for example, he's like, I was like, man, they should open up a comedy club here. He's like, yeah, you got to be careful. I tried to work with some of these bars to open up my own entertainment idea and they were not into it. And I'm like, well, what was it? And he's like, candle making classes. And I'm like, what? He's like, women would pay through the nose for that. I'm like, I'm like, do you know how long it takes to make a candle? Like, have you ever done it? It takes forever. And it's hot wax and you're drinking.
Well, they have like, those like painting classes
yeah.
where the women drink.
Anyways, I thought it was a harebrained idea. I'm like, I think a live comedy show is a better idea, Joe. But anyway, so then we go on talking. I haven't seen him since before COVID. And I'm like, are you still at HP? And he's like, no, I got a new job. He's like, dude, I love it. It is like, of any place I've ever been at, it is impossible to get fired there. I never work. You just keep your head down. Nobody knows what anything, who does what. Like, we never have to deliver on our contracts. It's amazing. Guess where he works?
Where?
IBM.
Ah! I was going to say Kantar or somewhere.
I started laughing at the top of my
Where
lungs.
Where is IBM out there?
What?
Is he
comes into the city.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Good Lord. All right. Well, we are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Steve.
John.
This is Sean.
We're going to do another one of these. I think it's 274. I've lost track. But so you're talking about like those candle making things. Like
yes.
My niece is doing this. You know, in spades, she's got a little online shop and everything.
Okay.
They're huge these days. And it's all about like new and interesting scents and environmentally sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that she keeps talking about is don't buy any of these commercial things. They're terrible. They've got all this crap in them and it's bad for the environment. It's bad for your lungs. It's, you know, all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm like, how many candles do we actually burn? I don't know.
So my brother-in-law was the CFO for the largest candle manufacturer in Ohio.
Wow.
And I would have to look
all
up.
All shit, by the way. Yeah. I've got it on record.
I would have to look up their name, but I think they're actually nationally the biggest competitor with Yankee Candles. With Yankee Candles is like the Coca-Cola of candles, okay? but like to your
point,
like people say they're almost like Procter & Gamble where it's just all environmental pollution. Like
yep.
They don't make it like in any kind of like. But it was amazing. Like when he told me what the valuation was of his company, I'm like, you guys make fucking candles in rural Ohio and you're worth that much?
Wow.
You know,
well,
it was insane.
Do you ever see like incense, like Wildberry,
yeah,
the brand?
Mm-hmm.
That's a small shop in Oxford, Ohio.
Yeah.
Like right where I went to school. And they're national. I mean, it's a huge industry.
This is what I've come to realize. Women will not tolerate any evidence in the house that they fart or poop. So they just need candles everywhere to mask that, you know? So it's a billion-dollar industry because of that.
Well,
know?
In our house, we have candles from, like, the 1970s because we never throw anything away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was burned, and there's, like, an inch of the candle that's gone, but it's literally a 1970s candle that's not been burned since.
Yeah.
And the other day, it was on the counter, and I was like, you know, I think we were lighting a candle, one of my niece's candles, and I was like, let's burn these. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of this stuff that's been here forever.
Sure.
So I lit that one and another one. Well, buyer beware on this. Be careful with old candles, because we walked away from it, came back a little while later. It had burned just down the side a little bit, and there was something that caught fire, like
a
bit of it, not on the counter, part of the candle, you know, this decorator or whatever on the outside. I'm like, why would you put that? It's 1970s, right?
Exactly.
They put some shit in it that they shouldn't
have. Asbestos. It's fine.
So I walk into the room, and there's this flame coming out of the top of this candle.
Man. Oh, my gosh.
And all this wax on the countertop that has covered some stuff. I was like, holy crap.
What a way to lose the house.
You know, I mean, it's pretty much what my neighbor did. He burned down his house.
Through a candle?
Actually, eggs. On the stove.
Oh, okay, yeah. But he forgot about it. And...
Well, he's like 90 years old.
Oh,
and he put eggs on the stove and then went to Costco.
But my
came back and the house was on fire.
My buddy who I was just talking about, who works at IBM, lives out near you. Their house almost burnt down. Where the babysitter, and this is why I never allow anyone to use the oven when I'm not home, like kids, you know, even babysitters.
I don't trust my kid.
So she takes out the pizza. Puts it on a cooling rack. She's like, oh, it's not done yet. Puts it back in the oven, but she puts the plastic cooling rack in with it.
Yeah.
Catches on fire, burns down their whole kitchen. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but, you know.
Got a new kitchen, though.
Got a new kitchen. That was what he said. He's like, you know, got a new kitchen.
Well, I'm impressed with that story you just shared. So apparently growing up, and I only know the story by what I was told. I was a little kid. I was, you know, baby toddler. I don't know how old I was. I was young. And my sisters were left in charge of me. And my parents went out. And my sisters went to make hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, geez.
And they had that problem where they, you know, they put it on the stove. They turned it on. They went to the basement to watch TV or whatever, right? And so they were in the basement watching TV. I was up in my room sleeping, and the eggs blew up, and you know, it was just ridiculous with the way my mom described it. She got home and it was all like egg everywhere.
Think eggs are flammable, but like you would think like bacon grease. I get that. But eggs,
I mean, cook anything long enough,
they didn't burn though. They just burnt, you know, boil the water away,
it'd be
exploded.
Like a bomb, probably,
And so she was like, we were picking eggshells off the ceiling for weeks.
So, you know, maybe this could be dovetailed with some food talk. This is a story I read yesterday that I haven't posted in the channel yet, but I kind of wanted to discuss with you guys, where it's equally parts, it's a mostly sad story, but then there's a part of it that almost, it was so crazy it made me laugh. And I don't know if you heard about this story. It just came out yesterday where this woman, it's tragic. She was a young woman. She was a med student. I think she was in her 20s. She had a caffeinated lemonade at Panera's.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a heart attack from it.
Yes.
She did have an existing heart condition, and her family is now suing Panera's.
Yes.
And
read this.
Yeah. So the lemonade does say charged lemonade. So there's like kind of a reference that it might be caffeinated.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So she's like, she knew that she was not.
She knew she was having a caffeinated drink, but she can drink coffee and so on. Listen to how much. So there's this big debate where these new beverages are coming out and there's no monitoring on them. Listen to how much caffeine is in this. So first of all, the drink was right next to the normal lemonade, though she did realize it had caffeine. The charged lemonade was offered side by side with all of Panera's non-caffeinated and or less caffeinated drinks. It was advertised as a plant-based and clean beverage, but it had 400 milligrams of caffeine, which is more than a cup of coffee, Red Bull, and Monster Energy drinks combined
together.
It also had 30 teaspoons of sugar, and it had guanara extract, an additional stimulant on top. So it was like, it was almost like cocaine in a glass.
you know,
I mean, between the sugar, two stimulants, and everything. Like, and like my kid would be like, hey, could I have that lemonade over there?
Sure.
And unless I looked closely, I'd be like, sure. And then they'd be running along the walls.
It's lemonade.
But I mean,
why would
if you have a like health issue, like, you know, you would think that she would check that out.
Yeah, you do have to become diligent. But then I think there's a lot of people, though, this is a new problem. Like, apparently, And they didn't talk about this in the article, but I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he's like, oh, you know what? That's interesting you bring that up, because apparently Jake Paul and Logan Paul are having the same issue where they've released this energy drink.
Which is
and I guess
so
like the ingredients in it are just bananas. Like it's got like it's basically like doing four cups of coffee and eating a bowl of ice cream.
My son came home with one of those drinks and I was like, get the fuck that out of my house right now. I mean, it's like, first of all, you're spending money on giving these idiots on Twitter money for these drinks, and then you should not be drinking this. I mean,
I think so. I agree with you that you almost, when you have a deadly like allergy or condition like that, you do need to do a lot of due diligence. But if you're also like, if you're in your mid-20s or later, you might just have this faith that, oh, they can't just put something with caffeine like that right there. Like there's regulations, and it turns out there's not, you know.
I mean, but look at like our coworker Dion. He checks every ingredient before he eats it because he has a peanut allergy. You would think that this person would do the same.
But the question is, like, how serious was the problem? Was it just not known that, like, who would put that much caffeine
especially
in a drink?
Especially at Panera. That's like, Panera, only old people go there.
And right. Panera, apparently, on the menu, and I don't know if she read the menu, but on the menu it says it has the same caffeine as a cup of coffee, which is incorrect. It actually has a great deal more than that.
Right.
So if she read that, apparently, like, she would avoid caffeine, but I guess she maybe could have a cup of coffee. But the problem is, not only does it have more than a cup of coffee, it was a 32-ounce on top of that.
Oh, it's huge.
So it's like the volume and everything in it. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Now, Panera's, was it in like one of those iced tea containers? Like,
I think it was. It was like, like almost like a big Slurpee type thing.
Yeah.
You know,
you know what's going to come of this? That like, that's going to be the end of self-serve. It's going to be, I don't know, no, we're not going to even put them out.
I actually wouldn't mind that. I feel it always tastes worse on self-serve. I don't think they like maintain the machines as regularly, you know.
Interesting.
I think it always just tastes like flat and worse self-serve.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is getting away from self-serve.
I saw that. Yeah.
Drinks now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're losing their shirts on it. That was always the thing.
No, they claimed, who knows if they were being honest, that it wasn't a cost thing. And it was somehow an efficiency thing. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's just what they...
Yeah,
I feel like any time McDonald's announces something, they're like, and this is to benefit consumers.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Not true. That's, they could care
how
less
How could that
us.
Be an efficiency
thing? I don't know. I just remember that's what they claimed. I have no idea, you know, what the real truth is.
Right.
We're tired of cleaning up the shit that you people do over there.
You guys,
that's
order waters
is.
And guys, take Coke. We know you do it.
We work right next to Hamburger University. It's two blocks from here. So we can go down there and get the straight dope.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's right on Printer's Road
it's
there
Oprah's,
on Randolph.
Oprah's old building.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
It's like
I didn't know
three
that was
from
like
place.
Hamburger U. I thought
it's called Hamburger University.
Yep.
And the other thing that's hilarious is they have a shuttle bus that drops off all their commuter people, and it almost looks like a bus of school children coming.
Well,
to
I know
be dropped
I know
off
McDonald's
University.
Moved back into the like the corporate office moved
it's
back
right
into
by
the
it.
City.
Mm-hmm. So I worked at headquarters for a while as a contractor.
But when it was out at Oak Brook or whatever.
Yeah. But every floor on every building had a fountain drink.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
everyone's just
whenever you want, just go get a drink.
Yeah,
Get a McFlurry, get it, whatever you want.
Jen did some work there too and was like, it was great because you'd go to the cafeteria and it was like everything McDonald's sells anywhere in the world you could get there.
And it's a test lab too. So they like, you want a beer, they have beer there.
So,
yeah,
you know, McRibs year round. Ooh.
Shamrock shakes.
Whenever
Shamrock shakes
like,
year
round.
In June, yes.
You mention what you do for a living, like your expertise. Like, oh, we're looking for somebody. Like, nah, I'm not interested in looking around. I get McRibs all
McRibs and Shamrock shakes year round. I'm good.
I did hate that drive, though. It was horrible. Anyway.
Yes, I make like 30% less than I should, but I love my McRibs.
Exactly.
You can't put a price on year-round McRibs.
No, you can't. Absolutely. So, yeah, I remember the, like, will salad bars, have they come back after the pandemic? You know, all that stuff got
I haven't seen a salad bar in a long time. That's a great question. Now, I also don't go to, like, buffet-style places that much. But,
yeah.
You should.
I've always argued buffet-style places aren't a good deal because I think, like, I mean, unless you're just one of those eaters that wants to make it up on quantity. But yeah. I feel like the food is so mediocre. I'd rather have a small meal I enjoy. But I don't know. I've never liked buffets.
Never liked buffets. Hmm.
What, an alcohol buffet, I'd be interested in.
An alcohol
buffet. I guess that's like a Bloody Mary bar. Yeah. Yeah.
So that whole thread on in one of our channels, there was a whole thread on gin this morning. Yeah. I was like, what an amazing thread. Like, I'm so glad somebody threw out their question. Like, somebody got any ideas on gin? And all of a sudden,
everyone just...
I'm like, oh, buddy, you are talking my language. Yeah, I drink a lot. I love gin. Drink a lot of gin. But I'm also not a snob about it, so I feel I'm a good person to go to for
advice. Well, I thought the advice was all very, valuable, steady advice for just, look, gin and tonic is a gin and tonic, and you got to do this. But what I don't know is... the others, the newer, like, gins. Interesting botanicals and all the different stuff that people do. What do you do with those?
I don't like those for that reason, because I feel like...
But is it like sipping gin,
yeah,
then?
That's what I feel it is. And I'm like, I never use gin like that in my life. And I don't know, maybe I should just give it more of a try. But I'm like, I'd rather have a dry gin, or even a botanical gin that I know what to mix with, than this. It's almost like a pre-made cocktail. Some of these gins are so extravagant that it's essentially a pre-made cocktail in a
bottle. So is it like a tequila where you sip it?
Or maybe they still make drinks with it, but you would have to adjust everything because some of these gins are they have so many flavors inserted into them.
Right.
The newer ones that I'm like, if you put that in a gin and tonic, I think it would suck.
Right. Yeah. But to your point, like, a little splash of elderflower, which kind of makes it nice and adds something to it. Perhaps that's the thing. It's like, no, you're getting a different kind of gin and tonic that's already got that little extra thing. That's what I think. I just don't know that I've ever, like, that would be an interesting thing to do. Go get a gin tasting experience where you just go the gamut and say, you know what, I'm going to try a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I did that at Koval once, which is a Chicago distillery. We should go there sometime. It's a great distillery, and I don't know if he's still there. Their head of sales that gives the tours is a former IT guy. He worked for Red Hat for years, and he just got tired of it and retired and now works at this distillery. And I talked, he's a great guy. I talked to him for a while, but they had a barrel aged gin, and it was really, I did like sipping on it, and I was like, if I had a bottle of this, I could come up with a good cocktail. Like maybe a mix between a Negroni and a Boulevardier or something like that.
Right.
But I'm like, I also don't know, off the top of my head, I don't know what I would do with this. And even though I enjoyed a sip or two, I'm not going to sip this on a regular basis.
And that's what happened to me where that was like at Journeyman up, by where we go. And it's... it was this specialty bottle of barrel-aged gin, and I think I'm still working through it because it's that kind of thing where it's like, all right, tonight I'm gonna have a little. But it's that. You have a little, and then you move on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not something you want to do all the time. But I do. I've got friends who are all into the different kind of gin variants that are out there. But nobody has really given me a clear answer of what they do with it. Do they just sip it, or is it just a different kind of gin and tonic? I just was fascinated by that thread. So anything noise-wise in the security space, Sean? I mean, you've been posting things regularly about...
Yeah, there were a bunch of big breaches, but there I don't think since last week, because I think we
referenced that. Was a Cisco thing? Oh, did we talk about it last week?
We did talk about it last week, so I don't think there's been anything. Although what was interesting, since then, Okta had a breach.
I saw that.
Which we use. And
the last part you didn't need to share.
Okay, I mean, well
we don't use it.
They're dead to us.
Can I pick that back up? That didn't come out right. So carry on.
But so that was an interesting one. So the market heavily penalized them. They lost something hundreds of millions
stock
of dollars.
Dropped. Yes.
And it's interesting when you're like I don't want to use the word expert, but like when you do this stuff for a living and you're able to evaluate like the scope of a breach, the breach they had is not so bad. They should not have been punished at that level.
Correct. But this is a buy opportunity. That's what those are called. Buy opportunity.
So it's interesting. I think people just aren't able to differentiate between a customer, this is our core live data hack, versus this was our support system that was hacked, which is what happened. And they were like, I was like, wow, they're taking a beating over this. And though it's bad and they shouldn't have done it, and yes, like it isn't.
And you did buy thousands of dollars
maybe
worth
stock. Maybe I will. They ain't going anywhere.
Well, I posted this week. I got my refund check from Google.
Well, that's,
Yeah, $95.
Dude, you almost need to start a small business where you tell people the thing is, all these different, you're always on top of all the different settlements.
The state of, we live
Illinois
in.
Enforces
Illinois
it.
Enforces face recognition.
Yeah.
And if people use the technology without them knowing, then they'll get sued. So I got a refund check from Google for $95.
I did not make that brilliant choice to sign up for that class action or whatever.
I did the Facebook one. I did the Google one.
And now you're retiring.
Yeah, just exactly.
That would also just be a fun date to have, you know? Like, Google's paying for this one, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're going out, you know, we're getting a steak. Because the Facebook one was like a couple hundred, right? Wasn't that like $400 or something like that?
Oh, well, the thing is, I made over $1,000 on that one.
Oh,
because I submitted my son, my wife, myself.
Your dog.
A dog.
Your neighbors.
Maddie has one. Winnie has one now.
You have a few aunts in the house.
Your dead
that got
aunts.
Them.
It's exactly. Like county voting.
Mom and dad.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
No, I'm talking about literal aunts. Yeah. Like, every insect in his house was on that one. Not too bad. I miss those. For some odd reason, I don't know if I'm not getting notified, or I'm not.
I saw on the news. I watch the news a lot.
Yeah. I don't participate in social media. I don't follow the news. I try not to make waves in any way, shape, or form, or be aware of anything that's happening anywhere. It's just keep myself in the dark, under a rock somewhere. So somebody shared, and I haven't seen it yet, but did you guys see the John Oliver thing about McKinsey?
No, I've heard a couple people reference it, but I haven't seen it.
So I watched the beginning of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I do want to watch it. I mean, because I think John Oliver is brilliant.
Well, and I think it's coming from, though I like John Oliver, I feel like what he does is he takes major deep dive newspaper articles and then just makes a show off it.
Right.
But I can't remember what newspaper it was in. It's a left-leaning newspaper. I don't know if it's... It's not like The Nation. It might be ProPublica. But they basically did like a 15-page article on the ethical problems of McKinsey.
Right.
With whistleblowers. And I'm guessing that's where it comes from.
Got it. You know? Got it. Okay. Well, we don't have enough to go on, but I just saw...
Well, it was interesting about... Well, that... I read part of the article, and it was basically them... I mean, it really portrays them essentially as like a vulture company.
Yeah.
That what they will do is they'll be like, we'll either not do anything to help you, or we will turn you into an evil company to maximize profits. But it was the article that I think his thing was based off of was the New York Corrections program hired them over the inefficiency in their jails.
Huh.
And they basically were like... you can get rid of this, and like suicide rates went up, and attacks on inmates went up, and they basically turned it into like, it sounds like almost like a butcher shop or something. Like they're like you're caring too much, you know?
Huh.
Yeah.
So I made a comment in the thread, but I did have a job offer from McKinsey and J. Walter Thompson.
Oh.
And I chose J. Walter Thompson instead because I didn't want to wear a suit every day. Because they had
that's
a formal...
Good, that's a good young person's choice.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
You know, formal attire every day. And then when you walk around the office, everyone's like, you know, asking where you went to college and, you know, if you didn't go to Michigan or Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
that's
snobby.
What, so this article... I read the first 5 pages of this article.
Right.
They talk about that. How it's just... Like, basically, they try to hire, like... the top stock coming out of colleges, like Yale, you know, Ivy League, hyper competitive environment.
Totally.
You know, yeah.
So when I was there, I was a contractor, and Chelsea Clinton was working there.
Huh. Oh, that's right. She was there. Yeah.
Yep.
It is interesting, though. Though you just did it at a wardrobe level, it does seem it's the most evil companies that make you wear a suit every day.
Yes.
Generally.
Yeah.
Also in tech news, I didn't know that Apple had another announcement coming out. So I thought they do all of this kind of in September, but apparently they have a scary fast report that they're coming out with new things on October 30th. So next week,
Halloween,
there's going to be a scary fast
announcement,
which I had no idea was coming.
Is it going to be some new processor or something, or we just don't know at
That's
all?
That's speculation is M3, right?
Okay.
So the and do we care about this anymore? Like, who cares? We did a little bit of this last week, but like the processor war thing, it's over, isn't it? I mean,
it feels
it's
that
about
way to
efficiency
me.
More than it is performance.
I feel that way. Maybe if I worked in a different space, you know, where I was doing stuff that needed to be massively rendered or computational, maybe I'd feel differently.
But all of that stuff is now, like, I'm going to post it to some cloud service that's going to do that job.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay a lot of money if I want it done tomorrow. It's like the, you know, FedEx thing, right? I can put the letter in the mail and it might get there. I can put the letter in the UPS world and it will get there, but will be slow. I can put it in the overnight thing that I know is going to get there tomorrow. And I'm going to pay for that.
Yep.
We're at that point with technology. So these kind of announcements just don't hold it for me anymore.
I'm the same. Yeah.
And I don't know that we're going to land on what's going to be the thing. You know, they keep trying the headsets and the virtual realities and the augmented realities and the, you know, now it's AI, great. So when does AI come into something that is useful? I still have the problem of I'm not going to wear the stupid headset. If they can get it on your glasses and virtually every glasses, maybe that's when it becomes valuable.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I'm at the point where, like, what would really entice me would be something like some sort of breakthrough in batteries instead.
But that's what I mean. Like, the efficiency seems to be like Apple Silicon came and all of a sudden they were able to actually have a device that would run cooler, so the fan wasn't always running, and longer on the battery life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, they've only got so much footprint to put a battery in the device. It wasn't about bigger battery. It was about better performance from an efficiency standpoint. And I think that's probably where they are, where it's the next round is, hey, and I never have a problem with my device anymore. You know, I've got a newer device. I never have a battery problem. I'm always able to plug in somewhere at some point. I go 2-3 hours in the morning, and I'm like, I could plug in. I need to plug in?
That's much better. How old is that? That's not 2019, though.
No, this is a 2-year-old device.
Okay, all right.
So I think the M series chip has done that. You're not on an M series chip.
No, I'm a 2000.
Yet.
This thing fucking sucks. I can go. It's the worst Mac I've ever owned, especially coming off the 2015, which is the best computer I've ever owned. But it sucks. I get about a half hour.
Yeah. That's it? Wow.
And even when it was brand new, I only got 45 minutes. It just sucks.
They also do need to improve the watch battery. Which
I've heard that. Yes.
It still sucks. It still can't compete with the Garmin. For the watch battery.
Correct, but they're very different devices.
Oh, totally. But they're trying to compete against Garmin for athletic watches.
I think they're competing with Garmin in a very specific class and with a group of people that want the other things.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the group that says, I can only buy one of these things. I'm a fitness person, and I want this. Whereas the Garmin people, the people that are watch people are going to buy a Garmin to do their fitness piece.
Correct.
And they're going to watch, buy an Apple Watch to do the Apple Watch thing, and they're going to buy the fashion watches to do the fashion thing, and they all have their place,
mm-hmm.
right? So I just don't think it's a one-to-one competitive
set. Can you
set.
Go into, like, a low-power mode where it lasts longer, where you can say
I don't
Apple.
Think so.
Like, that would be nice if they could do something like that. Like,
I will tell you what John's talking about. So you go, like, a week on your Garmin, right?
Correct, yes.
So I have an Apple Watch. I have a very old Apple Watch, and it never dies. Why?
Oh, okay.
Because I plug it in every night.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And, how and it's
long,
fine.
Do you know how long it can go if you don't plug it in?
I'm sure the next morning it would be...
It can't go more
either
than,
dead or
it can't
on
go
the
more than
48
being dead. Hours then.
No.
Yeah, so okay. My brother switched. He was here last week, and he switched from a Garmin and got the Apple Plus, whatever, the fitness one.
Yep.
And he says, I have to plug it in every night.
Yeah, but like,
but he's... Yeah.
Are you... Is he trying to monitor his sleep?
Probably. No.
So that's my point. It's like, I hate having shit on me at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it off. Whether I...
Oh, might as well charge.
Just
yeah, exactly.
Plug it in.
Yeah, it's just...
What's the big deal?
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Unless the point of your watch is to monitor your sleep, then that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's Doug.
Yeah, and there are probably other ways that you could or potentially should do that. But,
right.
So, yeah, I just... I don't see... Plugging something in overnight that you're not going to use all night long mm-hmm. is that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Personally.
I agree.
You know, my phone, which is older and its battery, you know, they also solve that battery problem in a lot of ways. Like, I have a several generation old phone and it's still okay,
mm-hmm.
but it's dying during my, you know, evening hours now because I'm dealing with that. That is unusable because literally I will go, oh, yeah, let's go. We're off to the dinner or we're going to see so-and-so. Shit, my phone is dying. All right, now we're taking the portable battery and plugging it in and carrying around an
just
extra.
Just like my son.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like stupid.
Like but Connor, what are you at? 10% dead. I'm fine. I'm like, no, take the battery with you. I do not want you to like not have a phone because I need to.
But is it
you.
Because he forgets to plug in overnight, or is it?
Oh, I have no idea what he does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone, like, your kids have their phones in their rooms all night with them and mm-hmm. deal with, yeah. So, do you have kids with devices?
We will usually be like, all right, you guys are going to bed, or you're off electronics, and we take them, just because they don't have the discipline to, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, I think they actually... kind of like that, you know, like they're such addicts. They're like, oh yeah, thanks.
Oh my son,
I wouldn't be able to go to bed.
He is like a crack whore. I mean,
yeah, they
honestly,
all are.
He wakes up in the morning and is immediately on his phone.
Like, I don't know if
as
I,
long
I,
as he's not like, you know, on the phone. It's, you know, midnight. It's 1 a.m.
Oh no. In summertime, yes, but not during school. Like, he's in bed. Well, we go to bed at 9 o'clock. Watch the news, and
so he's in bed by 10:30. So you have
exactly,
no idea.
Totally. I have no idea when he goes to bed.
I don't know if I ever shared this story, but this is when I realized how addictive electronics were going to be for kids. So this was a while ago. Like, Cora had to have a surgery as a young kid, but I think she was like 2. You know, maybe she could talk. Maybe she was 3 or 4. Anyhow. Like her belly button on the inside of the torso didn't seal right and it was causing infections.
Very, very common.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, apparently,
really?
It's very common. So they basically open it up. It's almost like they spackle it or whatever. They plug it and then they close it back up. And they're giving
little
her
a dap in there. Yeah. We're good to go.
They're giving her an iPad and she had never used an iPad before. And the nurse is like, oh, yeah, this is a new program we do. We give her the iPad, and then the anesthesiologist comes in and does the shot right in her tummy, and we're done. She's like, we used to have to do 2 anesthesiologists. One would come in and sort of put a local anesthesia on their tummy so they didn't feel any sensation whatsoever as the real anesthesia got applied. We found the iPad is so distracting.
Wow.
For kids, that we don't need the first wave of anesthesia anymore.
Wow.
They're just like this on the screen while the doctor puts a big stick in them, you know? Well, and I was like, holy shit, that's unsettling.
It is unsettling, but it also, I think, speaks to how much it's visual. This needle is going in my body.
Yeah.
Right? I don't like it.
I hate needles.
When somebody's going to take blood from me or whatever, it's like, oh, yeah, you're over here. All right, I'm going to look this way for a little while. I don't need to see any of
that. It's interesting the different spectrum of it. Like, it's never really bothered me. I my roommate in Chicago, he would actually faint when the needle even came out. Like
I'm the same way. I will faint.
He's woken up in an MRI machine like 3 times where he didn't get to tell them that quick enough in the process, and they pull a needle out.
And so
they think he's having a stroke. He falls, like he's not able to say anything. He just falls dead. And then he just wakes up, which then you're waking up. I don't know if you've ever been in an MRI machine where they're doing a brain scan, but apparently it's like,
it's very loud. It's very loud. The magnets,
You don't want to be in there. So then he's panicking again. You know?
Yeah. And that can be very dangerous if people panic in that environment. And it's expensive because they've now done an MRI that's useless because you were moving around.
Yeah, and I didn't know they actually MRI'd unconscious people, but apparently they do. Well, I guess. I mean, he's woken up in an MRI. I mean, you know.
If I was ever to need to have an MRI, that's what I would ask. Just knock me out. Just knock me out. Yeah. Put me in there. I don't want to know what I'm doing.
I mean, honestly, it's like right over your face. You're so tight.
So claustrophobic. You've done it?
Oh, yeah. For my shoulder, I've done MRIs.
I had to do it.
I mean, now it's like, you know, you pick your music. And I mean, my last MRI, I was more pissed off because I picked adult.
like contemporary jazz? You got to choose channels?
No, like alternative greatest hits. And it was like Green Day is now considered oldies. I'm like.
So now you're just thinking you're old.
I'm like, what the fuck? Green Day is not classic rock.
You can't just give them your own playlist? Here.
No, you pick the channels.
They're not there yet, Steve. Yeah.
Be like, here, you know, you can log into your Spotify account and put on stuff and call it a day. And
Nope.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. I don't know if you guys have a lot, but I think we probably should wrap this up. So what are we doing for lunch? Because that's what I do.
It's a gorgeous day out
there. It's a gorgeous day in Chicago.
We say this every week.
This is the last gorgeous day.
Let's keep saying it because we keep having good luck, you know?
Well, is this official Indian summer, though?
I mean,
it's supposed to be...
I don't know that we're allowed to say that anymore, but let's go with that.
Okay. Yep.
Indigenous summer, John?
Yeah, indigenous American summer.
Potawatomi summer?
Yes.
We have turned the heat on once.
Really?
It is almost November.
Ours has been on all the time.
I mean, it's technically on, but because I keep it at 68, it never actually needs to kick over.
Yeah,
and it's not because like a couple of weeks ago, it was pretty cold. Like at night, it was going down.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about our, I live in a, like, such a small house with so many people and so many devices.
Your body heat was keeping it going, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And with me working out, like, you're already at 80 degrees.
Here we go again. Here we go. Now we're talking about getting fit.
The whole house warmed up based on his bike in the morning, and then he was good to go.
The furnace thanked me. The furnace was like, thank you. I can have a day off.
All right. We have been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thanks
See
for listening. Bye.
Later. We'll be right back.